All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1129 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Thursday, July 14th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Support the show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey everyone, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thank you for being here. Got a great show lined up for you tonight. We're just getting started a few minutes late for those of you that are live. My wife was out working on some things in the yard. I was working on getting show ready. And we both kind of looked at each other and who's got dinner. So I wrestled some stuff up real quick, but it put us a little bit behind. So I'm fresh off the dinner table. Many of you don't give a crap, but anyway, thanks anyway. Hey, if you're brand new to the show, I want to give you a warm welcome and want to make sure that you take some time and get over to geeknewscentral.com and check the site out, hang out. There's lots of great content being written by our team of writers. So there's something there every day for everyone. So definitely check that out along with, of course, we want you to get subscribed to the show. And to do so, we just do that via the column on the website where it says iTunes, Android, email, Google Play, on Stitcher, the RSS. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about on how to get subscribed to the show, click on the More Subscribe Options button. That'll give you a little bit of a clue and dial you in. But if you're an iTunes or Android user, all you got to do is click one of the first two links on the webpage. We want to make sure, of course, that you get subscribed to the newsletter. It's under the Important Links section. There's a newsletter link there. Go click on that. Sign up for the newsletter. That way you'll get all the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. And it basically contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the podcast today. What else? Of course, if you want to reach out to me via email, let's see if I can get this fired up correctly. You want to reach out via email. Oops, wrong way. Via email, it's geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. If you want to reach out on Twitter, it's @geeknews, so real easy to stay in touch. Reach out to the Geek Hero. Definitely appreciate any feedback or any article suggestions or stuff that you have found. Of course, you can follow me on Google Plus or on Facebook. Just search for Todd Cochran. You'll find me. You can watch this show on the Roku or the Apple TV. On the Roku, just basically fire up the Tech Podcast channel, add that to your Roku lineup, and you'll get access to all the great shows over at techpodcasts.com. And of course, on Apple TV, all you got to do is be subscribed to this podcast and automatically pop up in your podcast list. You may want to pick the video edition though. But if you got an Amazon Echo or Dot, you can tell Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's names podcast, and Alexa will fire that up for you. Of course, you can listen on Stitcher and on blueberry.com as well. I want to thank our partner sites. And got lots of cool things going on. We've got Jamie Davis, of course, with the new media show with me and Mr. Rob Greenleaf. We've got the Pro Gear site. We've got the Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain. We've got No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. Did I miss anyone? Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis. So a full lineup of shows that you can sink your teeth into here at Geek News Central. So we want to encourage you, of course, to check out all the family of shows that are part of our network. Now, most importantly, this show would not be possible without our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And GoDaddy's been with us for many, many years, and 11 now officially, since July of 2005. And GoDaddy's always putting a good together a smorgasbord of deals. But on their website, you can go on and search around, find your best products, find the products that you want to pick out. And they can always use my promo codes. Now, the best way to lock in the promo codes, again, is by going to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And you'll see all the codes on the website. And they all start with a CJC, and then they have a GNC number in them. If you're not using the codes from geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, then you're not using the right code. But we've got an assortment there for you to use, whether it be a dollar a month managed WordPress, a dollar a month economy hosting, whether it be website builder. All those offers are dollar a month for the first 12 months with a free domain name. Definitely look at all the details. We want to make sure after 12 months you know what the pricing is going to revert to. And of course, we got 99cent.com. So we've got 30% off on new product purchases over there. So really, there's a code there for every occasion. And we want to thank all of you for supporting the show. We're on track. We're having a great month in July. And so I really appreciate your ongoing support. It is, it really, you know, honestly, and I've talked about this many, many times here. The sponsor of this show literally keeps the lights on, my family fed, insurance paid, gas in the car, mortgage taken care of, all that stuff. So, it is, you know, thank you for sharing the codes with your friends, family members, people that you know, tweeting the link to the website with all the codes. I know many of you do that from time to time. So it's greatly appreciated, and your ongoing support of the show. It makes it possible for GoDaddy to have sponsored the show for 11 years straight. I find it remarkable. Many times you just, in this business, in this, you know, in the podcast space, it's just not heard of. And no one has the same sponsor for 11 years straight. And you guys have made it possible. You really, really have. So a big thanks to all of you. And again, definitely check all the codes out at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Okay. Let me go ahead and pop over here. And I feel like I'm a little bit disorganized tonight, but I've got everything set up. I'm ready to go. So I don't know why I'm tripping here a little bit. But I do want to talk just a little bit about the course today. I really wasn't paying attention to the news. I had my head down. And it's just been crazy. Lots of challenges in the podcasting space. My company's doing well, but we're moving and trying to move a lot of advertising, and podcasters can be a challenge sometimes in communicating. It makes me rip my hair out, to be honest with you. But turned on one of the news websites late this afternoon here, and heard about the another killings in France, in Nice, France, on Bastille Day. Just horrible. I think the number that I last checked were up to like 90 people. Some dude in a truck. And again, they're still investigating, his deal, but this just may have been some dude that was mad, and instead of using a gun, used a truck. And someone is bound and determined to wreak havoc on individuals' lives. They surely can do a lot of damage with just about anything these days, and it's very, very sad. So, heart goes out to. This is just an ongoing thing with France, with so many people have gotten killed. Of course, we're not immune to this here in the United States with so much stuff going on here. And world's getting kind of crazy. So, the advice that I've been really telling, and if you've been following my Facebook page, and I tell my friends, it's time for each and every one of us to really buckle down, pay attention to where our kids are at, what we're doing, what exposure we have when we're in public, looking for escape routes, all this stuff, doing a little force protection, you know, and it's a term that was, you know, it's used in the military a lot, and they're worried about protecting the force. Well, it's family protection, really, and thinking about things that you can do to protect your family. You know, there's you can't protect them from everything, but, you know, I think right now, if you're in big public places with big public gatherings, you know, it's just to just keep your head, your eyes open on a swivel, and you'd be assessing things as you see them. You know, and you never know when something crazy like this is going to happen. But if you have a plan and you've talked about a plan with your family, you know, that might be the difference between being a survivor and being a victim. Again, there's nothing really to console these families, even entire families and children. And it was, I saw about maybe 20 seconds of video that and no one should have to see. It's just becoming so commonplace. It makes me wonder. My grandfather, when I was my son's age, oldest son age, and I would talk to my grandfather, who, you know, at that time was in his 60s, you know, he would say to me, "The country's going to hell in a handbasket," and, you know, it was all these things that, and I was like, "Grandpa, you know, is the country really going to hell in a handbasket?" For me, I was like young, vibrant, was going out and attacking the world, and had a whole life in front of me. That was 30 years ago, and now I sometimes want to say the country's going to hell in a handbasket. you know, it's funny how things come full circle, but yeah, crazy times, crazy times we're in. So just be careful out there, okay? All right, just a little bit more here. Been really very late nights, very early mornings. There hasn't been a day this week that I haven't been on the phone at 5 a.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, talking with people on the East Coast. So it's all good. No complaints there, but just burning the midnight oil on both ends. Of course, I've been talking to you folks a lot more now about what I'm doing on Facebook, and encouraging you to go over on to facebook.com/geeknews, following the page over there. I'll kind of simulcast, or I will be, not necessarily simulcasting, I'll be going live on Facebook during the normal show, and then I'll come back and I'll do a replay on my main profile. But the key here is I want everyone that is following Facebook and checking the show out there to definitely go to facebook.com/geeknews. That's going to be the primary spot for now. And basically doing the live show at the time of the actual recording. I've just been finding get a lot more interaction on Facebook. The YouTube video numbers are up as well. So, of course, we're at live.geekandcentral.com on YouTube. Typically, the YouTube video is a little bit better. So, of course, the podcast is still available as a podcast, but I just wanted to talk about the live component interaction. And even though most people are fast asleep, they're dreaming right now. You know, here I am, 8:30 Honolulu time, and it's 2:30 in the morning on the East Coast. So I don't expect to have too many people up at this time of the night. All right, so let's get into the stack. I got a good amount of stuff tonight, and I actually cut down the number of articles just to, because it was just, some of it was too much. But one thing that I was out and about a little bit today, and I was talking with some friends, and they said, "Did you hear about the Nintendo Classic Mini?" And I'm like, "No." They're like, "Oh my God." So everyone is freaking out about this Nintendo coming out with, and of course, what have I got here? I got some ad popping up. Ah, it drives me crazy. But this Nintendo Classic Mini is a tiny NES with 30 games. So they're going to launch this thing, I think, in October, November. $60 is going to be the price. And a little bit nostalgic games. And I was looking at the list, And it includes Balloon Fight, Bubble Bobble, Castlevania, Simon's Quest, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., Double Dragon 2, The Revenge, Dr. Mario, Final Fantasy, Galaga, there's a good one, Ghosts and Goblins, Gradius, Ice Climber, Kid Icarus, Kirby's Adventure, Mario Brothers, Mega Man 2, Metroid. So it just goes on and on. All these very, very, very cool. Bunch of Super Mario Brothers, 2, 3, Tecmo Bowl, The Legend of Zelda. There's another good one. Again, $59.99, you get a preloaded games, an HDMI cable, an AC adapter, and one NES controller, which looks exactly like the one you're used to, but it's a mini that you just hold in your hand. So, this is going to be awesome. And, $59. This is going to be a hot item for Christmas. I absolutely guarantee it. All right, I want to talk just a little bit tonight, too, about something that makes me go, You know, having been in the military, of course, my fingerprints and my DNA is on file. I have, you know, it's just the name of the game. You give a DNA sample and you, you know, get your fingerprints done. You know, basically all fingers, palm, the whole nine yards when you're... you know, getting ready for security clearances and that kind of stuff. So I'm already in all the national databases. So if I do something naughty, they're going to know how to come find me. But the FBI started something new. They're collecting iris scans in a so-called pilot program. And if you are in California and you have run into any trouble with the law enforcement, it is more than likely that you got your face scanned, and your eyeball is now in a national FBI database. So, and this has been happening largely in San Bernardino. They've arrested, check this out, they've arrested over 200,000 people over the last 2.5 years. And in the early months of 2016, the department was collecting an average of 189 iris scans a day. So San Bernardino's activity is part of a larger pilot program by the FBI, one that began as a simple test of technology, but it's quietly grown into something more ambitious. Since its launch in 2013, the program has stockpiled iris scans from 434,000 arrestees. And to create that pool of scans, the FBI struck information sharing agreements with other agencies, including U.S. Border Patrol, the Pentagon. So I wonder, if military peoples are in here. Of course, we wouldn't be an arrestee, or we would not have been an arrestee. Local law enforcement departments. California has been the most aggressive in collecting scans, but agencies in Texas and Missouri can also add and search the system. The results to a new national biometric database that stretches additional boundaries of a pilot program while staying just outside the privacy mandate often required for such data gathering projects. So not only are they collecting our, if you're arrested, not only are they collecting in California and Texas and it appears Missouri, not only are they collecting your fingerprints, they are collecting your iris scans. So the question then, what becomes of this data? Where are they going to use this? Are they going to have sophisticated cameras on streets that basically can be able to have that type of clarity to do an iris scan to detect who you are? Or are they going to use this in different ways? You know, it's an interesting situation here, and I don't know the specifics of this. We all know that everyone's fingerprint is unique, but is everyone's iris just as unique? Or are they taking a full face picture and getting a nice clear picture so that they can use facial recognition to see if there's a criminal on the street? What I just don't fully understand here, what this iris collection is all about. You know, it is noted, though, in the same article on The Verge, that the U.S. government first deployed the technology in Iraq, where soldiers use iris scanners to track local civilians authorized to work on military bases. So as people come in, they scan them, scan their eyeballs. And apparently, in years since, iris scanning has spread to airports and associated private security systems, what was considered too expensive or obscure for most local police departments. So it is a curious move here that they are not only they collecting fingerprints, they're collecting iris scans. So, so in June, a report from the Government Accountability Office found hundreds of millions of facial scans were made under an out-of-date privacy assessment, including tens of millions from driver's license photos that were not linked to any crime but were in a database. So the FBI is attempting to attempt some of these databases they have from certain provisions of the Privacy Act, which would require the government to maintain up-to-date public records on each program. So they're sliding a lot of this stuff under the radar, and it's got to be a little bit worrisome, in that, you know, can the FBI be trusted at this point? You know, are they, you know, what exactly are they using this data for? So I'd love to hear you guys' feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, to let me know what you think about this collection of the iris scans. I saw something on Reddit that I actually said, yeah, this is a good idea. So we've talked about this in the past, that since you can be forced to unlock your phone with a fingerprint, if you get arrested and your phone's locked and you have a fingerprint unlock, they can make you, by warrant, put your finger on that unlock and lock your phone. So people are questioning, should the manufacturers allow users to set up a kill switch fingerprint? In other words, you're about to get arrested. There is, well, let's just use a hypothetical. And, you know, you don't have to self-incriminate yourself. You know, you can plead the fifth. You can say nothing. You can let the prosecution build the case on their own, take you to court, and then they, you know, a jury decides your fate, right? You don't have to say anything in your defense. You don't have to say anything whatsoever. You have the right to remain silent, right? So with the ability to unlock a phone with your thumb, would it not be a good idea for the manufacturers let users set up a kill switch fingerprint? So maybe your middle finger or something is used, and you swipe your middle finger, all of a sudden it deletes your fingerprint. Now you have to use your password to unlock your phone. So at that point, they can't force you to give your password. So they can take your fingerprint and unlock your phone, but they can't force you to give you the number. So I think that's a good one, considering everything that's going on today. Now, I'm not condoning anything, but if you are doing activities that you may get your door kicked in, don't use the fingerprint portion on your telephone whatsoever. And I probably most of the criminals out there know that. They want access to my phone, go ahead. There's, you know, it'd be pretty boring. So Amazon Prime Day. And I was dogging Amazon on this show prior to them having Amazon Prime Day, because last year they had stuff that was just nothing you could buy. It was just everything that was good to buy was sold out in just a few hours. Well, I have to admit, maybe Amazon learned a little bit. So Amazon Prime Day ended up being more successful than ever. The company could have predicted, with customers' orders surpassing Prime Day 2015 by 60%. Now, here's really the deal. Everything was, there's a lot more available. And it was not as much junk. There was still a fair amount of junk. But a bunch of people kind of had their game together. And as an example, I was looking for an LED light. I need one more for the studio here for Phil. And Daniel J. Lewis said, hey, here's a couple things I found and people were sharing, and I was able to get a great deal on probably a Chinese version of an LED light panel. And it'll be going over there in the studio at some point. So the got it ordered and picked it up on Prime, saved $56 from the off price. But there was just a few things. My wife ordered a couple things. My son had something. My purchase was the biggest at I think $158. I think all total we spent $249 on Prime Day. I didn't plan on buying. I was going to boycott. But it, when looking at the deals, there was stuff coming up and still having like 15 minutes left and only having sold like 50% of the allotment that they had. So the Prime Day was much, much better this year. And maybe they learned some lessons from last year's catastrophe. I want to talk about Nissan here next. Nissan is encouraging drivers not to be morons with its new autopilot feature. Now, this, don't get excited, you Nissan fans out there. This is only for Japan right now. According to Reuters, the car company launched a suite of auto driving functions on Wednesday called ProPilot and announced that the new Serena minivan, which will go on sale in Japan in August, will be the first line of cars to include the technology. Nissan issued a press release that details how the system works. ProPilot uses images processing technology that can assist drivers with highway use and single lane traffic. Now, here's the main difference between the Nissan initial product and Tesla. Single lane, you have to be going over 50 kilometers per hour to enable it. If the wipers are turned on, it shuts off. If you take your hands off the steering wheel for more than 4 seconds, it warns you. So they says these functions, and what it does is it will remain a set distance from car in front of you. When other vehicles are on the road, slow down, it'll slow down and can control steering around curves as well. But they're saying these functions are meant to support drivers and are not meant as a self-driving capability. ProPilot, again, is very, very cautious, and at 50 kilometers, you have to be going over 50 to even enable it. Oh, if it's snow, forget it. It won't enable it if it's snowing or if the roads are wet. So it's not just the rain. It has a way to detect when the roads are wet. So we'll see where this leads. But Nissan is coming out with theirs. I'm sure more manufacturers will get introduced initially in Japan. And in a way, the Japanese are. Let me be frank. The Japanese are tough. When you want to get a driver's license in Japan, it's no joke. They have to go to school for like 3 to 5 months, and drivers that are brand new are on probation the first year. They have to have a special sticker on their car that shows that they are a new driver, new licensed driver. Elderly have the same type of sticker. You get to a certain age, you have a sticker on your car that basically shows that this is an old person driving the vehicle. The Japanese drivers, for the most part, are fantastic. My wife, when we first got married, and she came to the United States, a couple weeks after we went home to see the family, we were on the toll road. You know, she drove my car just like a champ, like she'd been driving here for years. And it, just because they'd had so much driving training in Japan, her transition to U.S. traffic was no problem. So I think the Japanese will be a little more self-conscious, and the Japanese automotive industry and their safety programs will have tight, tight scrutiny. So with Nissan launching in Japan, I feel pretty good that by the time this product makes it to the United States, it will be shook down quite a bit by Nissan, and it will probably be much, much higher standards than anything that we would have got if they'd launched it here directly. Cloudflare is a company that I use. I use it as a frontline defense to denial of service attacks from my website. I pay them monthly to do that. They do a very, very good job. They do a lot of caching as well, reducing the amount of bandwidth that I need, the amount of server power and so forth. But Cloudflare is probing a mystery interception of site traffic across India. So people's traffic is just getting redirected. It gets redirected before it even gets to Cloudflare. Someone puts in a www something, and it looks like the Indian government is starting to block a lot more sites. And this could be some challenges for political opponents and so forth, because political dissidents, hacking forums, piracy sites are often in the crosshairs of government. And in at least in India, traffic is being diverted. So hijacked traffic is crazy. So they're saying it's only happened on unencrypted traffic. So if you're doing HTTP with your website, it might be time to bump that up to HTTPS. If you're living overseas, or even if you have a server here in the United States. Okay, two times we hope it's going to be the good try. The folks over at SpaceX are going to be launching what's called the International Docking Adapter. And it's going to be fitted to the space station this fall. But the first one got blew up when they had a launch failure. So this is pretty exciting stuff. So they've built the second one at a cost of $100 million. The first one, yeah, got blew to smithereens. So the taxpayers have paid this twice. So SpaceX and NASA are going to cross their fingers and toes to make sure, hope that this one gets the International Space Station. So this launch is going to happen on Monday. And the Dragon capsule, hopefully will get to orbit and catch up with the International Space Station a couple of days later. And again, that they'll put this on the Harmony module for installation later in the year. So lots of traffic back and forth the International Space Station. Many of you are probably putting up a YouTube video from time to time. And, you know, YouTube is, for me, is it ends to the means. I don't make any money on YouTube. If I relied on YouTube for any type of income, I would starve to death, to be honest with you. But if you're looking to put some videos up on YouTube, there's 10 tricks to make yourself a YouTube guru or master. So the folks over at Gizmodo have a field guide on things that you can do to improve your chances of essentially being found, exposed, have that next viral video. And it allows you really to give you some ideas what you can do to be a YouTube star. So if you're on YouTube and you want to get more exposure and you want to become a YouTube master, here's 10 tips from the Gizmodo team that you should check out. All right. Oh, you guys are going to love this. We ought to have here in the studio a dumps cap. You guys know what that in the old days? I think, they're not allowed to do it in schools anymore, but if a kid was just being stupid, the teacher would give them a dunce cap and they'd have to wear it in class. And it probably was pretty demeaning. But there are some dumb people in this world. So this guy walks into a bank, tells a teller he's got a bomb. He walks out with just committing a federal crime. With $700 in his pocket from the bank. Yes, he robbed the bank and got $700. So he walks out to the street, maybe around the corner a little ways. He fires up his app, his Uber app, and hails an Uber car. He gets, I don't know how long it is before he gets his Uber ride. But his Uber ride shows up, he jumps in the Uber car and drives off. So it's like people kind of understand a bank's just been robbed. They're watching where this guy's going, and he gets in an Uber car. He doesn't have a getaway car. He's using Uber to flee the scene. The Weymouth Police Department obviously pulled over the red Nissan Altima that was this gentleman's Uber ride. And they pulled the driver out, got the $700 in cash from him, took him to jail. What was that person thinking. A real bright one there, right? You're going to rob a bank, and then you're going to hail an Uber as your getaway vehicle. What do you say to the Uber driver when you get in? You guys go, hey, how are you doing? You having a good day? Yeah, man, I just robbed a bank. You want to step on it? Oh, man, it kills me. You just got to love it, right? $700. How many years is he going to get for a bank robbery? What is that, like a 15-year minimum or something like that? For $700? Gosh. You know, you have to be pretty desperate to rob a bank for $700. You just wonder what that guy's story is, to be honest with you, right? It's crazy. All right, over in PC World, it's been confirmed. And if you're a Netflix user and you've been watching Netflix on your Windows 10 computer, only Microsoft Edge will play Netflix content at 1080p on your PC. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, but Microsoft yet today claimed that its Edge browser was the only one of the big four browsers that can play it at 1080p. And it turns out to be true. PC World proved this claim to be true with three other browsers. And someone had found a way to look at the specifics that are happening when you're actually playing a Netflix video. You can look at the streaming data. And there's a keystroke. You get when the browser's open, playing Netflix, if you go Control-Alt-Shift-D, see Control-Alt-Shift-D, it's going to get a little pop-up. And the Netflix menu is going to tell you your streaming rate and all that, some cool techie stuff. So Control-Alt-Shift-D when you're in the browser, okay? On Netflix, only when you're playing a Netflix video. So give it a try. Let me know how it works out, okay? Over on the Register, there's an interesting headline. And let me read it to you. They're saying, or Facebook is saying, it's not our fault we don't hire black people, says Facebook. They released their transparency report that talks about their hiring practices. Despite having at the receiving end years of criticism for its overwhelming white male workforce, the social media giant's latest figures show that only 4% of its workers are Hispanic, 2% are African American. The percentage of women at the company crept up a single percentage to 33%. Despite acknowledging that, we still have a long way to go, they said. The company that is never wrong said it has been working hard to increase diversity, but has been stymied by the fact there just aren't enough qualified people that aren't white men. It's kind of a wow. And it said that in the most roundabout way imaginable, it has become clear that at the most fundamental level, appropriate representation of technology or any other industry will depend upon more people having the opportunity to gain necessary skills going through the public education system. In the weirdest bit of data cherry picking that we've seen for some time, Facebook noted that no African American person took the advanced placement computer science exam in 9 states, including Mississippi, where about 50% of the high school graduates are African American. There are, of course, 50 states in the United States, so what about the other 41? Facebook noted that of the new senior leadership hires in the past, 12%, 9% are African American, 5% are Hispanic, and 29% are women. So they have it's a lot of white guys running around. And I asked my son about this, and he's a computer science major. And I asked him, your classes, what's your makeup? And of course, here in Hawaii, it's mostly Asian, you know. And he said probably about 90% of the class is Asian, and a pretty even split between men and women. So, and we have a not insignificant African-American population here in Hawaii. So I asked him about that, and he said, yeah, there was a few. So it makes me just kind of wonder here, but the schools here in Hawaii don't have any prep for anyone to be going into computer science. You know, the prep that they get is, you know, the math work that they do. There is no, you know, advanced classes that they have, at least that I'm aware of here, that really kind of will help guide someone into the computer science platform. But that doesn't mean, you know, Facebook doesn't just hire developers. They hire business people, marketing people. So what's their problem? You know, there's not all coders going to work over there. You know, they have a wide, diverse, you know, number of job placements, I would think. So, they're claiming they're going to give $15 million to code.org to help folks get access and get some computer science resources. What else are they doing? They continue to grow their Facebook University. They had 170 students last year. But by its own admission, they only hired a handful out of there. You know, we're living in a tech world today, so we need to step it up in schools. Why are we not having computer science classes or some sort of a tech path to that job type? All right, switching gears here. This is kind of a weird one. New York City has approved the world's first underground park to be completed by 2020. Why would you build an underground park? I don't fully get that. It's kind of weird. It's called the Low Line Project. It's coming in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. Maybe there's no dirt. Maybe they have to go underground because there's just nothing above ground. There will be a roof that will stream sunlight into the park thanks to a periscope-like system that will channel the sun rays downward. It's been suggested it could prove to be a decent haven during winter, where instead of holing up at home, residents could still go out and enjoy the outdoors. The park can also be used as a multi-purpose space where events can be held, like fitness classes or spaces where people can come to meditate. They don't say how big this thing's going to be, how many acres or so forth, but an underground park coming to New York City. So what do you guys watch on TV these days? You're all a bunch of geeks here. And one thing I keep forgetting about sci-fi, the sci-fi channel having, you know, they usually have a pretty good lineup. And I heard that this, according to The Verge, that The Expanse is a pretty awesome sci-fi series. And they're filming year two now. Year one has been a wrap. How many of you have watched The Expanse? You know, just reading this particular article got me intrigued enough that I kind of added it to some notes that I keep on things I want to check out. So what are you guys finding with The Expanse? Are you liking the series? If you are, drop me an email. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And for those of you that haven't watched it, definitely check it out. I'm going to be definitely probably doing a little bit of watching some of the series over the next week or so. All right, the other day, and I got a tip from a listener on this as well, but it made the news, and it was over on Extreme Tech. They're talking about NASA cutting out a live video feed from the International Space Station because of a apparent UFO. And when you watch the video, it is very interesting. And I can't play it on the show here for those of you that are watching, because of YouTube will take our stuff down if we roll this. But it's not very clear. It's like when we see this weird stuff, it gets recorded by NASA. It's always just a little bit out of focus. It's never quite right. And you kind of like, at what point are we going to get a good scan? When are we going to get good video for events like this? But when you watch this, it's going to make you go, hmm. And it does drop out. It disappears from view. But they're claiming it was just, you know, that was when the live feed's not monitored, it gets digitally recorded, and sometimes it loses signal, and the live stream goes down. But it sure was a big coincidence, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll let you have the link up in the show notes. And thank you for the eagle eye of one of our listeners for checking that out too. Hey, you guys know that I'm using a ad blocker called uBlock. It's fantastic. Well, Wired does not like it when you block ads on their website. Matter of fact, if you try to scroll down on their website after viewing or starting to read an article, they basically block you from being able to do so. So I'm loading the page up in Firefox here because I'm not running the ad blocker in Firefox. So I'll they've got this big fat advertisement. This is why we put ad blockers, is these big fat ads on the websites that get in the way of the experience. But it's an article about a submerged floating bridge. And they're talking about putting these in Norway. If you want to drive the 680 miles from Norway's bustling southern port of, and I'm going to destroy this, Kristiansand to Trondheim in the north, be ready to spend 21 hours in a car. That's an average of 30 miles per hour, and you have the country's signature geologic features to thank. The route along Highway E39 crosses 7 gorgeous but inconvenient fjords, and that means 7 ferry trips. So they're going to put a $25 billion infrastructure project, promise they cut the trip to 10.5 hours, and they're going to be installing permanent crossings across these fjords by 2035. So it's just basically a big tunnel that basically goes underneath the water. And I'm looking at this, and the first thing that comes to my mind here in Hawaii is we have a couple of areas that if they put an underwater bridge like one of these, a floating underwater bridge, that would be like a mile long in some places and 100 feet deep, so ships could still get through. This could be a game changer in Oahu. You know, we're spending $10 or more billion on a light rail system here that's sheer insanity for 1 million people that will not alleviate the traffic congestion we have. Yet, here's an idea that the Norwegians have thought up, and they're going to basically have an underwater bridge, submerged floating bridge. Brilliant. If they can do it, why can't we do that here? And then there's many places across the country that, you know, it's too hard to dig under here. You can't dig, in New York City where you go underneath the Hudson River. There's none of that going on here in Hawaii. But they could do a floating bridge that is underwater that basically still allows ships to pass. It's very, very, very cool. And I think that they're on to something. Volkswagen, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Their plan to fix it. So, you know, the $15 billion or whatever it was fine they got, that was only for the 2-liter engines. Do you know they're still facing another fine for the three-liter engines? So Volkswagen's plan to fix emission-cheating cars with 3-liter gets rejected. Specifically, the California Air Resource Board announced late yesterday that it has rejected Volkswagen Group's plan to fix thousands of cars with the 3-liter engines that were affected by the company's global emission cheating scandal. They submitted earlier this year, but apparently doesn't go far enough. Now, the CARB, CARB, kind of funny, they basically said that Volkswagen hasn't been completely forthcoming in all the things that they did to get the emission ratings that they did, how the cheating devices worked, and so forth. So they are not signing off on the plan. They're back to the drawing board with VW, and VW can face more fines. VW, Audi, and what other group? Porsche, were all affected in the 3.0 liter powered cars. Now, how many of you geeks out there, because you're listening to the show, you are an official geek, by the way. How many of you have run into trouble where you haven't had a long enough USB connection? Maybe you want to put a camera somewhere, variety of different things. It happens to me all the time, drives me insane. Well, today, that situation's been solved. There's a reliable 65-foot USB connection that's available for sale that you can order. It costs $64.95. It's called Tether Boost and comes in either black or highly visible orange. And it allows you to have something connected as far as 65 feet away. They do a little power boosting, a few things to make it happen. So brilliance on the folks that put this together. But if you're looking for a longer USB cable, I think, you know, the normal ones will work to about 15 feet pretty reliably. But anything beyond 15 feet and it's, you know, it's you're at risk. But 65 feet if you want to get an extended, put a camera somewhere or something like that. All right, the FCC today hails monumental vote opening new spectrum for 5G and IoT. The U.S. is the first nation to set aside spectrum for 5G services. Now, get this. Those of you out there that are RF geeks, this is going to blow your mind. Really, really is. So the FCC on Thursday adopted new rules for spectrum above 24 gigahertz. Yes, 24 gigahertz. The FCC's decision also opens up a 3.85 gigahertz spectrum, licensed spectrum, a 7 gigahertz of unlicensed spectrum to new wireless use. The new licensed spectrum, again, they open up 3.85 gigahertz and 7 gigahertz respectively in both the 24, 28, 37, and 64 to 71 gigahertz range. Now, when you get above 18 gigs, or even when you get above 40 gigahertz, let me tell you what happens. You have to be close. It's not like that cell tower can be 5 miles away. The tower that is transmitting at those frequencies like have to be in your neighborhood. It's going to be a super high speed, like maybe up to 10 gigabytes of speed. At least that's what they're saying, or maybe more than that. Yeah, transfer rates up to 10 gigs. So that's fast, right? 10 gigs is super fast. But again, that you're going to have to be close. You have to have special antenna setups, the whole nine yards. This is not an easy deployment or cheap. But anything that you're up there in at 64 to 71, wow. I mean, you just do a little research on yourself and looked at that spectrum and what that wavelength's going to look like. Very, very short range, but very, very powerful. So very exciting stuff to see what happens here, where this goes, because that frequency is just like, whew, out of this ballpark, my friends. It's way, way, way up there. Again, radio that they use for like airplanes is in the megahertz range, not the gigahertz range. You have spectrum 243 megahertz is actual the SAR frequency. Help, I'm in trouble, come get me type of frequency. So we're talking not, you know, real low down there where radio's at. Radar from essentially about 500 megahertz, maybe. And that would be like for really long range radar to 40 gigahertz and above, very, 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 very short range stuff. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. It is really, really cool. I'm excited to see where this is going to go. See what kind of technology they're going to bring to market. Well, in Somalia, someone scored themselves a crashed drone. And this thing's pretty cool. No one's claimed ownership of this, but you can only imagine where it has come from once you see it. And those of you that are listening, you're going to want to see this thing. It is really awesome. It looks like a bird. And it looks pretty rudimentary too. It doesn't, you know, it, in all honesty, I'm looking at this, I'm like, is this real? Or is this someone's metal project from out back? Not a lot of details here and much proof or not, but this has been claimed to be have found in Mogadishu. Of course, Mogadishu is the city where the film Nighthawk Down was filmed. And let me say this politely. Beep hole. It's you want to die, you go there as a white person or a foreigner. You know, you don't fit in around there. You're going to that area, you're going to end up dead. This is not a place you go visit, folks. You don't go there, all right? Oh my gosh. So anyway, they say they found this drone. It looks like a bird. So no one's claimed that it's theirs. But it has propellers, and it looks made to look like it's a flying bird. So very curious. Anyway, links will be up in the show notes. For those of you listening, you can check it out. No markings on it either. Oh, here's the Wired article. They're going to block me again because of my ad blocker. All right, let's talk just a little bit about Nest. I'm a big fan of Nest. I got two Nest cameras in the house, along with my security cameras that are outside. But my security cameras, I can't stream those. But a Nest Cam has been updated. And it supposedly is much, much better. It's very similar in operation to the ones that are currently on the market, but comes with a pretty long power cord. So you can plug this bad boy in, and if you don't have a security system for your house already, and you have Wi-Fi signal that reaches to the area that you want to put this, all you got to do is plug it in, just like you do your Nest cameras. That's my biggest problem, though, with any outside camera. You have to be relatively close to your Wi-Fi signal in order to get a good stream. So this is going to be available. I think it's available now. It's $200, same price as its indoor companion. But I like my Nest cameras. I really, really do. All right, Orbital ATK updated Antares rocket scheduled to fly for the first time on August 22nd. Of course, Orbital ATK had a big explosion in October of 2014. They've been grounded ever since. So what they've done is they've refurbished the Antares rocket, and they went and got a different manufacturer for the actual motor that they're using. So the AG-26, which was made by the manufacturer Aerojet Rocketdyne, has been replaced by an AJ-26. The AG-26 has been replaced by two RD-181 engines, which are made by a Russian company called NPO Ergomash. I know nothing about this particular Russian company, or if it's even the same one that sends does Soyuz motors or not. But they're going to have a launch here to the International Space Station shortly, and they're going to launch from Wallops Island. So those of you that, I know we have a number of listeners close to there, hopefully you will not have another big boom in your neighborhood. All right, serial hacker, doxer, and swatter is sentenced to 2 years in prison. A 22-year-old hacker has been handed a 2-year prison sentence after he's pled guilty for his role in doxing and swatting politicians, celebrities, prosecutors, the First Lady, and a security journalist. All told, he did about 50 different actions against those types of folks. So he's getting 2 years. He did cooperate with authorities. So at least he fessed up and helped them reconstruct what he had done. But he gets to go to jail for 2 years for what he did. And, you know, a lot of people, when that swatting happens, SWAT comes to your house, kicks your door in, puts you on your face, put handcuffs on you, and points big, mean, actual, real assault weapons at you. people have gotten killed from swatting raids because they didn't know who was coming through their door when nothing was going on. So this guy gets the 2 years he deserves. Another leaked video shows a possible glimpse of an iPhone 7. Looks kind of like the same ones we've been seeing. And this comes is a video that's coming out of China. So either Apple's lost their mojo in keeping stuff secret, or more people have access to stuff they shouldn't have. At the same time, in the science department, an international team of astronomers has created the largest ever. Now check this out. Think about working on this project. A three-dimensional map of distant galaxies in a bid to help them understand one of the more mysterious forces in the universe. Scientists, including a team led by Dr. Florian Butler at the University of Portsmouth Institute of Cosmology and Gravitation, has spent, listen to this, a decade collecting measurements of 1.2 million galaxies as part of the Sloan Digital Sky Survey, SDSS-3. Butler said, this extremely detailed three-dimensional map represents a colossal amount of work. Yeah, I think. The University of Portsmouth has worked with partner institutions for 10 years, helping to gather measurements of galaxies making up a quarter of the sky. Wow. So, the new measurements were carried out by the Barron Oscillation Spectroscope Survey BOSS program, or SDS, again, 3. So, that's amazing, amazing stuff. So, they have got themselves a 3D model of 1.2 million galaxies, and they're trying to find black matter. Hey, for a win for privacy advocates, Warren has been denied. No dice. Federal warrants don't apply to emails, documents, and other data stored on servers outside the United States, according to a ruling Tuesday by a federal court, appeals court. This is great news for Microsoft, which brought about the appeal after a lower court ruled that the company must hand over emails that were stored in Dublin and held the company in contempt for the refusing. Those findings are now reversed. The company has positioned itself as a defender of user privacy and has brought a number of court challenges over government efforts to search or subpoena user information. This decision by the Second U.S. Court of Appeals was based on the Stored Communications Act, a law that lets government access internet users' data with a warrant. So, it can't go outside borders. If you're a U.S. company, you have something stored. There is a low-life group of people on the internet and some low-life men and women who post stuff that is commonly referred to as revenge porn. It's where someone takes an adult video that may have been recorded between a couple, and they break up. One couple posts the video on a website in an act of revenge. Well, Representative Jackie Speier, Democrat San Francisco, formally introduced a bill in Congress on Thursday that would seek to make involuntary or revenge pornography a federal crime punishable with a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison. Until now, there's been no such federal bill, but 34 states, including California, have already created similar legislation. So this is awesome. If this bill passes, which it should, it would exceed a similar law in the United Kingdom, which maxes out the punishment at 2 years. As we all know, in April 2015, a San Diego man who ran the YouGotPosted.com was sentenced to 18 months in prison after being convicted under California revenge porn law. By comparison, Hunter Moore, who ran IsAnybodyUp.com, was sentenced in December 2015 to 30 months on charges of hacking and identity theft, and not specifically revenge porn. So 5 years. This is a bill that I think we all can get behind in a big, 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 big way. Elon Musk has posted on Twitter that autopilot was turned off. Let me repeat that. Was turned off in the Pennsylvania Model X rollover. The driver who crashed the Model X on the Pennsylvania Turnpike earlier this month blamed Tesla autopilot for his accident. According to Elon Musk, onboard vehicle logs show that the car's semi-autonomous mode was switched off when the incident happened. Tesla CEO revealed that info on Twitter, adding that if autopilot was on, the accident wouldn't even have occurred. Now, that's a pretty bold statement. Why didn't you just kind of get out while the getting's good there, Elon? You said, okay, autopilot wasn't on. The guy wrecked it. It's not our fault. Shh, be quiet. Don't rub it in that autopilot may or may not have been at fault. Now, of course, Tesla's autopilots begin a lot of flack, and rightly so. So that's a little bit of heat off them. All right. Many of us know someone with type 1 or even type 2 diabetes. Type 1 is devastating because a lot of type 1 diabetes patients are young. My sister's daughter's boyfriend has type 1 diabetes. He is forever poking and checking, and he's on a pump, and it's synced with his cell phone, and you know, so this whole insulin management is a nightmare. Frustrated with traditional monitoring and the speed of which industry is bringing to the market and getting FDA approval for stuff, type 1 diabetes sufferers are coming up with their own solutions to manage their diabetes. If you are a type 1 diabetes patient, or if you have type 1 diabetes, or if you know someone that has type 1 diabetes and has trouble managing, you need to look at this article. There's open source projects that some folks are using with great success. It's a lot of DIY, do it yourself, to the point of almost building systems yourself. Now, Jamie Davis is going to smack me around for talking about this, but when you have little kids with type 1 diabetes and they're on a drip system, they have a hard time managing this stuff. So parents, if you're looking for not necessarily relief, but some backup, everything I'm seeing on this is like, whoa, you're probably already aware of it. And it tells them when to shut the insulin pump off, and it warns them when they have some fluctuations. So I don't claim to even be any bit of an expert, but those of you with type 1 or those of you on type 2 that are taking shots daily, you need to look at this. There's some Pokemon Go stuff. Military here in Hawaii is warning people, don't be on base doing Pokemon Go and running your camera, because you're going to get your camera taken away and smashed, because they will, you know, you're not around military bases, gates and stuff. There are areas where absolutely no photography is allowed. But it appears the political candidates are getting into it. The presidential candidate Hillary Clinton is having an event prior to the Republican National Convention where they're saying, hey, come over to the such and such place and this Pokestop near Cleveland, and we're going to be signing people up to vote, a bunch of other stuff. Trump kind of got into the game too and posted a... I'll just say, I don't care what political party you're on. I'll give Trump bonus points for the video. When you see this thing, it's already got 4 million views, almost 5 million views. All I can say is pure genius. It was a really good one. I mean, you just got to go, and I'll put Pokemon Political in the show notes. You got to go look at the video that Trump did. I can't even tell you. You just have to go look at it, okay? I'll save it for you to go take a peek. I'm not going to describe it because it's that good. At the same time, you know, talking about Trump's videos, most of the viral videos being done today are fake. Most of the stuff has been staged or graphically enhanced. So please, please, when you're out looking at videos and like, wow, that really happened, you know, look with a critical eye. And I'll have a link up in the show notes tonight, linking to an article that shows a bunch of real popular YouTube videos that are 100% fake. that did not happen. Oh, if you're a T-Mobile user, Pokemon Go, you're not going to get any data charges for the next years for playing. All right, heads up on that. Parents, you're letting your kids go play Pokemon by themselves. Make sure they're with friends and know what to look out for, because a sex offender was arrested and accused of playing Pokemon Go with kids. And the probation officer actually saw this dude outside the probation office. His name's Zuck. As a registered child sex offender, in April, he pled guilty to a felony charge of fondling a child under 14. This should be like immediate. This, you know, if you're... He was placed on sex offender probation for 4 years. The term included him not interacting with children. So a probation officer allegedly saw him playing Pokemon Go with children outside the Hancock County Courthouse. He's arrested, and I hope they put him in jail for his 4 years. But what's interesting about the Pokemon Go thing is no one in tech saw it coming. I saw geeks geeked out on Ingress, but the Pokemon Go thing has caught a lot of people flat-footed, a lot of surprise, and it's probably going to mean a lot of new innovation coming to gaming stuff that's going to come to our mobile devices as time moves forward. It's a game changer with the number. I think they said 65 million people already have picked up the game. I think that was the number as of this afternoon. But Niantic says it's coming to, they don't have an announcement for Asia, but probably pretty soon. I'll try not to go too much in this Pokemon stuff. I'm not playing, but some maps are starting to pop up as well. Many of you, I'm sure, are playing, so you'll want to get access to this resource. But I've got the product of the day for you. Most of you know that I have absolutely fell in love with a product called BedJet. Fellas or ladies, if you sleep hot, BedJet will change everything. It's expensive, worth every penny. Now, I like Airflow products because, you know, it kind of keeps the sweat off and, you know, it keeps you cool. Well, there's a new product, and it is making waves in Japan. Now, when you see this product, you're going to say, I'm kidding me. So imagine a little square device. Maybe 3x3. Put batteries in it. It's got an ingest fan and an exhaust fan. And you wear it on your body. Now, where do you think a fan that you could hook to your clothing would be a great place to put a fan? Now, most of us, when we get up in the morning, and we take our showers, get ready to start the day, We slap on some deodorant, right? Some of us need to use a little more deodorant than others. And some of us have found really good deodorants that work even better, right? But someone in Japan has come up with a product, and I'm not kidding you, is designed to basically go in your shirt sleeve, pointed towards your pits, and blow nice, refreshing air at your pits to keep your pits cool. Let me think about this for a second. Fellas, I know you've all done this. You've done the sniff check, right? You're about 8 hours into your workday. You know, you've had a pretty hot and grimy, maybe the air conditioning isn't working so good at work, and you know, you lift your arm up and you do the sniff. I just did it myself. I'm fresh out of the shower. Okay, so I'm good. But sometimes you go, oh. So, you know, you have a, you know, you try not to, you know, punish your neighbors too much, right? You know, you're like, hey, I stink. Stay away from me. But some people don't care 2 ounces, or they can't smell themselves. They get by you and you're like, oh my God, this person stinks. And you know, what do you tell a person? Man, you got BO, move away from me. You know, we've all experienced that, right? Someone walks up to you and it just like hits you in the face, like bam, right? And you're like, you want to puke. You know, you don't want to be that person, but imagine, just imagine having fans blowing into your pits. I cannot imagine anything more disgusting that could possibly be sold as a product that I would even consider buying. I like air-cooled stuff, but there would be a fat chance an HEWL before I would wear anything like this. But apparently, this product is selling very well in Japan. Yeah. What does it cost? Oh, they say you can wear it in the front of your shirt. I'm sure some of the weirdos are wearing it down their pants. Who knows? But yes, if you want cool pits, you can pick up an actual air freshener. Hey, any of you that are using an iPad Pro, and if you guys don't know, I did pick up an iPad Pro. I'm using it we used it in Chicago for demos and all kinds of stuff. Absolutely fabulous for that type of for presentations and so forth. But Razer's made a mechanical keyboard for the iPad Pro, and it basically allows the whole device to kind of fold up as a mini laptop, $160. And I will say this, if you're going to use an iPad Pro, you need a keyboard to go along with it. It's, you know, almost a full laptop, and it's kind of used. But yes, $160. It's got a battery inside, and it will work up to 160 hours with the backlight. So this is kind of my cool product of the day. I think that's it. That gets us to the end of the show. So what I want to do here, wow, I'm already long. Reminder, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Thank you for supporting our sponsors at GoDaddy, at geeknewscenter.com/GoDaddy. All my promo codes are there. Share them wide, use them, link to my site, link to that page, your Twitter posts and stuff you put up on Facebook. I definitely appreciate it. For those who've been watching live tonight, thanks for staying up late. I definitely appreciate it. Sorry for the late start. For those of you listening on demand, thank you so much for being part of the Ohana here. Do I have time? I'm really long. Let me see how much I've got for email, because I don't want it to back up too far and people have actually written. So let me bounce into that real fast. I don't think there's too much. I got an email from Christian. He said, "Hey Todd, BitTorrent has now introduced BitTorrent now is available on the Apple TV. Their streaming music and video app is available for iOS and Apple TV, and I've got a link for that. So that's pretty cool. So I want to thank Christian for sending that over." I want to thank Robert Simpson for sending a Google Plus message that, "Hey, Todd, I missed this a couple of weeks ago and I haven't heard it on a podcast nor found it in a specific Google search of the GNC site. But Xbox Fitness users will soon lose access to the videos they bought." This is insane. So Xbox user purchased training videos through the Xbox Fitness app, probably thought they were buying a workout program they'd be able to use regularly for the life of the Xbox One. But if you bought like a Jillian Michaels workout video, you're going to lose them. If you paid for them, they're going to be gone. So this blows. You spend money on something, and some of these could run as much as $60 each. They're going to be yanked off your Xbox. Some people are really mad because some people say, "I bought $140 worth of videos and you're going to take them away from me." This is the caution. This is the caution, ladies and gentlemen, of the digital world that we live in. And Robert, thank you for that. Robert's a long time dedicated listener to this show. So Robert, thanks for that link. That's a good one. I'll have that up in the listener links in the podcast, along with the stuff that Christian sent to me over the BitTorrent stuff. But other than that, we're out of here. Everyone, thanks. Email geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to go. Wardrobe tonight is provided by Raw Voice. So if you wanted to know where the wardrobe was provided tonight by. promotion considerations by no one. And everyone, thanks for being here. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time on the Geek News Central podcast. Take care. Aloha.